When you heard about the deal, what was your first reaction?
Great news. Every time a new quarterback contract gets done, it resets the market. And at that one position, football players are finally being paid just like the highest compensated basketball and baseball players. Each contract will set a standard, but it also provides the boosting point for every other contract. I think that probably clears out the people whose contracts were waiting, because Tua, now Dak Prescott, Jacksonville's quarterback, and Josh Allen and all the rest of them have been redone. So this probably does it for a while. But remember, they're not spending money as franchises. They don't have. This money's coming because of a renegotiated TV contract, and there's a 53-47 revenue split. So don't feel empathy for team owners. They're spending money they're making.
So is there a ceiling to what quarterbacks can make in that league now?
I don't think so. I think it is tied in many ways to television revenue. And the thing about TV revenue is that networks are desperate to try to use Sunday afternoon or Sunday night or Monday night as a stimulus for their Monday through Friday primetime programming. So this is actually about the bottom line of the network. And years ago, when Fox finally got into the TV business and replaced CBS, CBS primetime ratings went to the bottom, and Fox's primetime ratings went to the top. So as long as there's a sport this popular, where it's not only sport, but it's the most popular television attraction, as long as that's true, you're going to have consistently bidding up on contracts, and then for television, and that's where the revenue is coming from. So at whatever point that would stop expanding, you would get a flattening, but I don't see it happening anytime soon.
To give this some perspective, when you first started doing this, you were negotiating contracts for guys like Aikman and Warren Moon and I think Steve Young and guys like that, and they were talking millions, but we were talking single-digit millions at that time, were we not, Lee?
I did a contract back in 1984 for Steve Young with the LA Express, and it was $42 million for 4 years, and it shocked the world. If you want to go all the way back to 1975, Steve Bartkowski, the first draft pick I ever had, was the first pick in the draft, and he signed, wait for it now, $600,000 contract for 4 years, and his signing bonus was $250,000, and the first year salary is $40,000, and there were, like, people commenting that that would be the end of professional sports because it was so much money.
Okay, and now we got this. So is your man Patrick Mahomes in that 10-year $450 million, that makes Patrick underpaid, does it not?
I don't want to speak about Patrick's contract. He does really well speaking about those things. So let's make this theoretical, that there are several pathways to being compensated well. Any of these numbers are great compensation, but suppose the ultimate goal of a player was to get to and win the Super Bowl. Suppose he was hyper-competitive, and suppose he understood that the salary cap needed to have two tackles that were really talented and skill position people. And by doing intelligent cap structure, he could assist the team to get there. So the biggest beneficiary in all of pro football for winning the Super Bowl is the quarterback who's MVP. Imagine that being a household name could set up that person to do incredible amounts of endorsements and other things. The ultimate legacy greatness for a quarterback is getting to and winning the Super Bowl. I guarantee you that a team that had such a quarterback will pay attention to the expansion of the market and make adjustments.
Lee Steinberg, the CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment Holdings, and a friend that we've talked to many, many times, is with us on the Advantage Roofing and Solar Hotline. I've heard this idea floated around out there. Okay, if these salaries are going to get that big and they have such an impact on these teams' caps, do you believe it would be wise for the NFL to say, okay, let's set the quarterback aside and take him out of the salary cap equation? That way they can make whatever they want to make or whatever the teams will pay him, and then put everybody else under the cap. Good idea or bad idea? Do you think that might happen?
I think it's a good idea. It, in reality, the biggest change that occurs in football is the development of the franchise quarterback. So let's call that someone that a team can build around for 10 to 12 years. Let's call that someone that a team can win because of rather than with. And most importantly, it's someone who, in critical circumstances, the game's getting out of hand, the team's losing, the quarterback's throwing a couple interceptions, the crowd is beginning to boo. And what does that player do then? Can he tune out all the extraneous pressure, elevate his level of play in critical circumstances to take a team to and through playoffs to the Super Bowl? Now, there aren't that many of those players, and a team that doesn't have one will look endlessly forever. I mean, you saw the Chicago Bears. Well, you know, it was a few years ago that that they drafted Mitch Trubisky number two in the draft. You can try to solve that problem over and over again. The beneficiary here is the timing that Dak Prescott had his best year last year. You know, he had career highs. He led the league with 410 completions, 36 touchdown passes. He had a 105.9 passer rating, and he threw for 4,500 yards. That was play that was so good, he finished second to Lamar Jackson in MVP voting and was second team All-Pro. So he had the good fortune of having that year when he came up for a contract. And remember, there always is discussion around the Dallas Cowboy franchise about, is he good enough? Well, he can win during the regular season, but can he win at the end of it? I pose this question to you. If not Dak on a long-term contract, then who?
Right.
And they could go for years without finding someone else. So making this is an move. And as you suggested, they probably just ought to put an asterisk on quarterback numbers for the same reason that they created a franchise exception way back when the new collective bargaining agreement got done, because teams were so afraid they'd lose their quarterback. And they created that specifically for the quarterback, although it's been used on other players. But it would just be a recognition of the fact that football has changed, that without that critical key player, teams just don't seem to make it.
Lee Steinberg is with us. Lee, I'll wrap it up with this. You have negotiated contracts with Jerry Jones yourself. What's it like to negotiate a deal with Jerry Jones, Lee?
In 1989, Jerry Jones had just bought the Dallas Cowboys and fired Tex Schramm and Gil Brandt and the legendary Tom Landry, and he was from Arkansas. So I got him from his very first contract he ever did. Actually, it's a really positive experience because he's so smart, and you can make arguments outside the square. So I could say to him, well, this contract right now for Troy is the biggest, but in a couple of years it'll be surpassed, and people will be coming saying, well, why did you signed Troy Aikman for so little money? Understand that that's the nature of the contract. He got all that, and he was always willing to step up to the plate if he was convinced that that was the best move to get them to the Super Bowl. All of the discussion that went on around Dak's contract and the questioning of whether he was the guy is not positive for the team. And now with this behind him, they can go ahead and have a great season and not have that issue come up at all. So Jerry's great when you negotiate with him because he's whip smart. You can make a very logical argument to him and show him the future and what's coming up, and he'll buy into it.